This is a J-Man show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station. I'm your host, Jai A. Bino. And my guest today is the lovely actress, Amberlynn Moyes from Darman. Hello, Amberlynn. How are you today? It's wonderful to see you on the show today.
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Doing wonderful. I'm blessed.
Thanks for having me.
How did you get started in acting?
I started, well, I did my first play in middle school, and it was Little Red Riding Hood, and it was actually kind of a traumatic experience because I got cast as Little Red Riding Hood, and I guess at that time I was a little shy and timid, and I got replaced with this other student who was loud and boisterous, and she did the and so it was a little traumatic. But then in high school, I went to a high school that had a performing arts program, a visual and performing arts program. Shout out to Tri-Cities in Atlanta, Georgia. And yeah, and I studied theater there. And at first, I was behind the scenes, doing working as a techie, doing crew work, moving sets around and helping out with lighting and sound. And then one of the actresses that I was working on a musical, and I was singing backstage, and she was like, "I think you need to be in front and on stage and not behind, behind the set." And so from there, I started getting confidence to be actually on stage.
Are you working on an album coming anytime soon?
I want to, that's the goal. Right now I'm working on, it's a project with a friend of mine. He's a bass player, and I'm working on his project. So they're working with different singers and musicians, and they're putting together different songs. And so I recently recorded a song, and hopefully it's gonna make it on that album. But as far as my solo stuff, I'm really bad with like releasing stuff. Like I'll record songs, and then I think I just get in my head like it's not perfect enough, I'm not good enough, and I end up putting it on the back burner. But hopefully there will be an album coming out. I have no idea when, but I'm definitely getting motivated to start writing and recording again.
That's wonderful. I'm also singing myself.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Tremendous percentage too is how did you start on Domin?
Yeah, so I started out I think I auditioned for a part, and I didn't end up getting the part, but they called me in to do background work, so like being an extra. I remember being on set, and actually, Catherine Norlin, day one, she was. I was in a scene with her, and I remember her saying that, "Oh, if they like you, they'll keep calling you back." And so I was like, "Oh, okay." And so they kept calling me back, and I did a few, like I the first maybe four, I was doing background, and then they called me in for like a small speaking role, and then they called me in for like a few lead roles, which was really exciting.
Yeah, that's wonderful because I actually interviewed Catherine Nolan. She was so wonderful.
She's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, she's very positive and inspirational and just a great person to work with.
Yeah. So what's it like to work with Darman?
On day one, I just felt the good vibes there. Like I just remember, from everyone, like from the talent to the crew, and everyone was just so just chill and cool and vibing and positive, and like it's a very tangible it's a tangible vibe that you can feel, And so it's I love going to work there. I've met so many incredible, talented people that, I feel blessed to be able to work at Darman Studios, and blessed to be working with the people, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. And it's like I'm excited to go into work when I book something on Darman.
That's wonderful to hear. So what advice can you give singers and actors
What advice could I give singers?
and
I
actresses?
would, yeah. So for the singing and for the acting, I would say, work on your craft as much as possible. So for singers, that's going to mean, doing vocal warm-ups every day, 10, 15, 20 minutes every day, working on your instrument. I think the most terrifying part, or what could be the most terrifying part, is doing it in front of people, right? So like you have to like break that ice. So I would recommend like going to open mics and just singing as much as you can in front of people, because like for me, when I started out taking singing and music very seriously, when I'm up by myself, like I sound great, but then when I got in front of a crowd, I would like literally like choke up. And so like just get the like the stage fright, if that's an issue, get that out of the way. For acting and for singers as well, if it's something that you want to turn into a career, my experience is that I had to do, or not had to do, but the route that I took was doing gigs for free, right, without pay. And as an actor, that helps you get your reel, right? So a lot of casting directors are going to be looking at your reel before they even call you to come in and say, "Hey, I want you to audition for this part." Your reel is almost like your resume, or your calling card. So, if you don't have money to pay to get a reel done, which, I if you have the money, go ahead and do it. But if you're just starting out, do some free work, and if you do enough, you'll get enough footage to get your reel together. And they have websites out there that you can use. I personally use Backstage, I use Actors Access, and Casting Networks. Those are really great, at least for the market here in Los Angeles. I don't know if those work for people in other places. I mean, I know they have different regions, but yeah, you just have to put yourself out there. And something that I'm learning is like social media presence, which I don't have a strong desire to be a content creator or to be an influencer. Like I'm an artist and I want to do art. Like I don't want to try to, create content and have to think about, oh, what am I going to post today? But in these days, that is a big part of it. I was speaking with someone who works in PR, and they work with a lot of TikTokers who, have made it big, who went viral. And what they told the PR person is that they were just making content constantly, making it, posting it. And like for a long time, no one was looking at the stuff that they were putting out, but then one day, boom, they all of a sudden exploded. So I mean, there's different ways to go about it, but it has to be something passionate to where, it's like it has to be something that you live for. If you want to do it for a hobby, that's fine, but you have to be really passionate and grow some thick skin, because this industry is, it can be tough on your self-esteem, getting rejected and hearing no's all the time. So I guess getting used to the no's and seeing that as something positive, like you're doing what you love to do, and at least someone saw what you did enough to say no, versus having having no one ever seeing you know, do your art.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. So how do you deal with rejection?
Now I just move on to the next, but before so I've been acting for over 15 years, almost 20 years. I've been acting for 20 years, right?
Wow.
From my high school theater days until now. And I would say early on, it really affected me emotionally, you know, because you go, or at least for me, you know, the narrative that went through my head is, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm too black, not black enough. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too big. I'm not big enough. And, you know, there's all these things, and which is true. Like, what I've learned is that you could be the most talented person who auditioned for that part. And it could be something like, the director's son is in the movie and he's 5'4" and you're 5'9".
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a good match. And so now I just take it as it comes and move on to the next. And it's almost like a numbers game. Like, you have to just keep putting yourself out there because someone is going to see you. Someone is going to like what you're doing. Someone's going to, you know, bite the line. And, yeah, so I took a break because it is a subjective industry. I took breaks off and on, but I'm at a point now where I'm like, yeah, I don't really care what people say. Like, you know, I don't if they reject me, that's part of it. And I've had enough life experience at this point to be able to deal with rejection.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
I love your attitude. That's a strong answer. I admire that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Did you stage fright before an audition?
Before an audition. So right now, because of the pandemic, a lot of auditions are what they call self-tape, right? So before the pandemic, you would have to go in and you would audition. And it was in person, and sometimes there would be one other person in the room. Sometimes there would be, you know, three, four, or five people in the room. And that was very frightening. But now a lot of it, I can just do it in my bedroom, you know, set up my camera, you know, do my lines and then send it in. But I have had a few in-person auditions recently, and it's for me, it's the same. Like, right now it's like with the same when I perform live, like on stage, if I'm singing or, you know, playing guitar, like I'll have that stage fright right before I go on. And then once I open my mouth, once like I play the first note, then it's fine. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I got this. Like, yeah. I prepared for this moment and I'm good.
That's wonderful to hear. So what inspires you?
Oh man, the world, everything is so inspiring. I can get inspired by a bird tweeting, like nature. Nature inspires me. I love you know, like a good movie. You know, great acting inspires me. Listening to other musicians inspire me. Fashion inspires me. I just like any and everything, especially like for songwriting, I get inspired by it all. And you know, I hear rhythms almost in everything. Like sometimes, like I work in an office part-time, and I was printing like hundreds of paper, and the sound of the printer was like a beat. It was like, and so I like took my phone out and I recorded it, and I was like, okay, how can I emulate this and make it into a drum beat? Like literally everything is inspiring. I see beauty. I try to find beauty in everything.
That's wonderful to hear. Well, hello, dear. My name is Jai Bana. If you want to jam, which is on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station. My guest today is Boo Daniels, wonderful actor. Hi, Boo. Good to see you. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I have a movie opening this the 7th on YouTube.
Okay. A little bit about it.
Sure, the movie is called House of the Lord. It's a think of like The Shining. It's a scary movie, and it takes place in Florida, and it's about people who try to sell themselves as other people.
Oh, I
You
see.
know, so it's a lot of you don't know who's exactly who, and
Yeah.
I play like the crazy Jack Nicholson kind of role, so it's good.
That sounds okay, good. That's wonderful here. Wow. So what made you want to become an actor?
Sure, I'll tell you. I graduated from college in the mid 80s, and I moved to New York, and that's when the AIDS crisis was really terrible. And I met someone and I fell in love. We were both actors, and he got diagnosed with AIDS.
I'm sorry to hear
And
that.
so I had to, I chose, I didn't have to, I chose to stay, and I had to give up life on the road because I was in a road show. And I had to get a full-time job so I could stay near him. And so I had to give up show business, and I worked in nonprofit fundraising. And so I chose a really lovely career with nonprofit. And being a fundraiser, I raised a lot of money for AIDS, for kids with disabilities, with low income families, elderly. So I had a 25-year career doing that. And then I took an early retirement. And in 2019, I said, why don't I go back to acting? Because I'd saved all my money. And I went back to acting in 2019, and I got a movie right away. And down here in Florida, and I've been working nonstop. I do commercials, I do print work, and I have a movie on Amazon called Matched. And then I got, as you watch me on Soul Snack, I've done about 50 of those, and they're a great company to work for, and they're trying to teach lessons to people and make people think. So I'm working all the time, and I love it.
So what do you have come up for the rest of the year?
I am in a play in Fort Lauderdale, a Harvey Fierstein play called Casa Valentina. I play, it's based on a real situation that happened in 1962. And it's about these six men who are all married. Some of them have kids, all that. And but they love, they're transvestites. They love to dress as women on weekends. And so they meet at this place in upstate New York, Catskills, at this house called Casa Valentina. And I own Casa Valentina, my character. I'm George, and I'm also Valentina. And so my wife and I own this together, and the whole event takes place over 14 hours, and it's a very interesting time in history that I've learned a lot about. 1962, transvestites, it was against the law in some states to dress as a, drag almost. And what I find interesting now with the times going on, it's almost going back to 1962, that men with the whole drag issue. But that even back in 1962, transvestites were more accepted than gay people. So it's a really interesting life lesson, and it's a good piece of history. And Harvey Fierstein is such a tremendous writer.
He definitely is.
Yeah, so we open on May 12th in Fort Lauderdale at the Empire Theater.
So what made you decide to come and ask?
To be quite honest, I was in two plays in my whole career before college. And third and fourth grade, I played Bambi in one, and I played a person by the name of Howard in a play called Howard Stream in third grade. And I always loved it. I loved movies. I loved going to the theater. But I grew up in Arkansas, and there's not a lot of opportunity to act at that time in my life. And when my dad said, you want to go to, my dad was from the Midwest, and he said, you're going to go to school in the Midwest. and I had no idea what I wanted to be. And I wasn't good at math. I was okay. I didn't like science. I didn't like, and I said, oh, he gave me three schools. He gave me a school in Illinois called Millikan. Then he gave me a list of three schools. One was Kent State in Ohio, and then one was Butler University in Indianapolis. And we looked at all three, and I really liked Butler. And they said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, it just came out of my mouth. I said, "I want to be an actor." So I got in their theater program, which is a very nice, it's a nice prestigious theater program. They have a school of dance. So I learned how to be a dancer and an actor and a singer. And I fell in love with it. And I started working. Well, throughout the year, I did summer stock when I was in college and all that. And then I moved to New York and I got jobs right away. And what they don't teach in college is it's not so much talent, it's a business. It's and people don't realize it because no matter how talented you are, if you don't do the business end and do your, have your pictures and resumes and do everything on time, you're not going to get work. And you have to really be, what I found is I'm not so aggressive, I'm assertive. Because a lot of people, aggression turns people off. And so I got a great degree, and then at Butler, in 4 years, moved to New York. And I didn't know this at the time. Butler is a hub for East Coast kids. It, when they can't get into prestigious schools on the East Coast, they come to Butler. And so I met all these people from New York, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Boston. All this, it was, they were so exciting to me coming from Arkansas. And I followed them all out back east, and I started working immediately. I had this all-American look. So I got a commercial right away. I got a road show. I got cast in Crimes of the Heart in a tour of that. So I was really doing well. And then my friend got sick and I gave it all up. And he stayed alive for 7 years, and so I was in nonprofit for 7 years. And once you leave show business and you have a steady paycheck coming in, it's hard to give up that steady paycheck. And so I stayed in nonprofit because I loved helping people. And then, like I said, I retired early. I saved all my money, retired, and my husband and I, we moved down here to Florida, but we kept a little place in New York, and so we have the freedom to come and go.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, you know. I mean, you know,
Yeah, it's a good life. And what I've acting, you can always go back to. What I that's what another a lot of careers you can't go back to. Acting, you can. People accept you.
So what inspires you?
Few things. I think friends are so encouraging and so supportive. That's really important to me. And having positive energy all around you is really important. And I think being you're having your heart open and not being a closed person is really important. And those things really inspire me. And when I meet somebody creative, or even you were doing a show, and that's exciting to me. And I love that kind of energy, and it keeps me going.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know. I appreciate your kind words. Thank you. It means a lot to me. Rejection sometimes, you know, I mean, does it affect you being rejected for films sometimes?
It used to. When I was young, because you either got the job or you're a waiter, to be quite honest. So I was one of those actor waiters. And then but now at my age, that if I don't get the part, there's another part. And it's not, I don't have to go back to waiting on tables. So I'm more open now. There's less of a desperation. And that makes it almost makes me more available when I'm not desperate. So people say, oh, he's easy going. And I am. If I don't get the part, somebody got it, and that's great. Before I would be jealous. I'd say, why'd they get the part? Not me. But now it's not that way. There's a lot of talented people out there, and there's work for all of us.
Well, what advice could you give actors that want to be, I mean, actors?
I would say, number one, make sure you're one thing that I've learned since I've gone back to acting, you really, my advice for young actors or any actors, make sure you know your social media.
Okay.
I've had to learn how to do, I'm just now getting into TikTok, but
Right.
I've had to learn how to do Instagram. And once, I came back to show business just when COVID was hitting. I think COVID hit in 2020, and I went back in 2019. And then so all the auditions were online, or videos. You had to make YouTube, you had to self-tape yourself. So I had no idea how to do that. So that's why I said it's a lot of the business and a lot of the social media is so important now. I posted something yesterday on Instagram, and I got like 70 hits on it about the play. And it's so important. And I think a lot of people, especially older actors, don't do enough social media. It's really important. And so young people are good about that, but they don't realize how important it is for your career and how you don't want to do bad stuff. No, you don't. Because people say, oh, it's not going to show up. It shows up. People Google my name, and my name comes up like 100 times, and I go, oh my, I didn't, I forgot I did that. I did when I was a fundraiser, I did a we had to do I did a Beyonce song, a little clip from a Beyonce song, and it's really silly, but it was to raise money. But now I said, oh, I don't want anybody to see that, but it's out there. So I'd say social media is really important, and also have a good, don't lie. Have a good resume, and if you don't have a lot on your resume, don't make it up. Because
Absolutely.
people want to make up. Actors are good at storytelling, and you don't. I know a friend of mine got caught. He said he was doing something somewhere like in DC, and the person who used to work at that theater and who was hiring him and said, wait a minute, I'm going to call because I don't remember that show. And so he got caught and didn't get the job. So don't lie. Just be truthful, even if it's a short resume. It's better to have a short one, but a true one. So
That's
social media and having be honest and having a good headshot.
yes. Okay.
Yeah, and a reel. You know about reels. So I've had that's another thing. And reels can get made really, but you have to get work. And I also found out in New York that before I started getting work, I was trying to do a reel, and people will write reels for you, which is good. If you don't have movie credits or anything, people will write scenes for you and they'll film it. It costs a little more money, but it's very important to have reels,
Yes.
especially for film and commercial.
So how did COVID affect you?
Well, we had just moved in 2019 down to Florida. And the one thing about Florida, the weather's so good, you could afford to be outside a lot. And that saved us, I think, a lot, because we could sit outside like 20 feet apart from our friends, and the weather was beautiful. And so and there was still work down here because I did a lot of filming outside. And so it didn't affect me too much. I think it affected more my friends up north than my friends down here. But it's part of what happens. It's part of life.
I guess that's true. I mean,
Yeah. Because
so
I know in 2019 my dad died. And so
oh
that affected me more than COVID. He didn't die of COVID, but he died. He was older, and that affected me more than anything, I think, about changing my attitude. He lived a good long life, but you want to make sure you don't waste time. I didn't answer your question about COVID because it really didn't affect me that much. It just limited my it the COVID did teach me that I had to learn how to self-film
Yeah.
and buy the equipment. I had to, so I learned how to do that. So COVID did help me with that.
Okay. Well, my condolences to your father. I'm sorry he passed away, So my mother passed away too of a heart attack. So I know how you feel,
Yeah, it's hard. My dad was he fought in World War II, and so he was a real hero to me.
Okay.
He was a good man, and he was very accepting of my lifestyle and my husband. I actually think he liked my husband more than me. But yeah, it's I miss my dad. I miss my mom too, but she died quite a while ago.
Okay. I understand. My grandfather actually fought in World War II myself.
Yeah, those are real heroes.
Yes, they definitely
There
are.
was something on in the paper, I think a week or two ago, about all the women that worked in World War II. I don't know if you saw that. They were all honored in Washington, D.C. You know how they fly soldiers in? They flew all these women that were like,
Well, hello there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station. Hello there. This is the J-Man Show, and my guest today is Sergio Diaz, a wonderful actor, and I'm your host, Jai Bano. Hi, Sergio. Good to see you. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing blessed. I'm so good to have you on my show. I mean, what made you want me to come in after?
Oh, man. I hope you got some time for this story, because it's kind of...
Let's do it.
So ever since I was very little, I loved superheroes. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man and Batman were my favorite superheroes, right? And so I remember when I was little, the very first live-action Spider-Man came out, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking to the movie theater. I must have been like 6 or 7 years old when this movie came out. And the feelings that I got after seeing that movie, like seeing Spider-Man on the big screen. Yeah. He was no longer just a cartoon. He was no longer just someone in a comic book that I read. He was like, Spider-Man was real as far as I was concerned. And I walked out of that movie with the hairs on the back of my neck standing up, right? I had goosebumps all over. In that moment, I felt, right? I can be Spider-Man. I can do that. And as I got older, I realized the actor, Tobey Maguire, right? He was getting paid to do what I was doing in my room, right? Like pretend to be Spider-Man, right?
Yep.
And so that got the gears turning at an early age that, oh, maybe acting is something I want to be, or want to do, I should say. But I took a really long time to get there. Mm-hmm. I didn't start actually acting until I got into college and towards the end of my college career.
Wow.
But I would say watching Sam Raimi's Spider-Man was the first time I thought, wow, being an actor, that would be such a blessing. That would be so cool.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I just seeing your book on Hulu, it's like, wow, you definitely was starting to be an actor. Yeah. So how'd you get cast on the show? Illumium?
Okay, so that's a really cool story, right? So it was a height of the pandemic, and I was not doing what I wanted to do, right? I wasn't acting because I was like, I can't act because there's this thing going around.
Yeah.
But one day, an actress that I had worked with on a short film, mm-hmm. she sent me a text. She said, hey, I'm working with these people. They're called Illumably. They're good people. And so, we need somebody. It was like a last minute thing, right? Mm-hmm. One of the actors wasn't able to go. And so she called me up and she said, hey, we have this part for you if you want to take part in it. And at that point, I hadn't acted in, I want to say, like maybe like 9 months, just because of like everything that was going on at the time. And I was laying in bed when I got the text. I was like, this sucks. I need to do something. And then boom, she texted me. And of course I said, yes. I'm like, yes, when, where? And she said, she sent me the address. She sent me the script. And then I ended up working with them that day. I think it was 1 or 2 days later after she sent me that text. And they said they loved what I did, and they've been inviting me back ever since. And since then, it's been really, really nice of them to invite me back to make videos like almost every week. Like I'm working with them. So,
yeah, that's a cool show. I mean, definitely. I mean, yeah. So what are you working on besides that? What are you working on right now besides Lumion? Anything coming out? I know you that you're a musician, right? That you're in a band. You got some songs coming out.
I'm actually, so me and my friend Leo, we had this cover band, right? So no originals. Okay. But we are in love with the Arctic Monkeys and the Strokes. So we cover a lot of them. Actually, I go up to Chico and I do Chico, California, and I do open mics there at like coffee shops and the bars, or at least we did. We haven't done it in a while, but we used to do it fairly consistently. The thing with music, I love music. Music's been a part of my life ever since I was little. I can strum the guitar, and I sing pretty okay too. So I'm pretty happy about that. As far as things that I'm working on with acting, mm-hmm. right now I just finished filming a short film called Savor It. And hands down, it was one of the funnest experiences on set. Wow. Super fun. Like everybody top of their game, super professionals. But they also knew how to have fun at the same time. So So there was a lot of laughs, and my cast were, it was a small cast, right? It was only three of us. So we got really close, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah, so that one's going to be coming out soon.
Okay.
I don't know when, but soon.
It sounds great. Coming to see, you know. And back to music, I mean, yeah, because I'm also a musician myself, you know. I've heard some songs, you know. I'll send them to you tonight at the interview, you know, so you hear me, you know. But yeah, but I love music, you know. It's been a part of my life, you know, since I was seven. I mean, I've got to be some styles like Macy Gray, Ashanti. But music has definitely, you know, been a part of my life, just like yours, you know. I it's on my soul, you know. I can't, you know. It's like, you know, just like you said, you know, yeah.
Right. Music is like a universal language, right? Because if you don't, nobody speaks the same language all the time, right? But everyone can vibe to music. It's I love music for that reason. It just connects people, and it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So what kind of songs do you like to write about?
It's funny because I have written a couple songs. I like writing. Uh-huh. When it comes to composing, I let my friends, you know, do that because they're more adept to it. But when it comes to writing, I just write about what I know. I'm only 27 years old, you know, so I mean, I still have a lot of growing up, and I still have a lot of learning to do. But I write about what I know. I write about, you know, past relationships. I write about really difficult times that I've had in the past. And I think it's a very healthy way to, you know, work through things and assess things, and sometimes I just write things just straight out of my imagination, you know, that make no sense, but they're just fun to put in a song. And I love playing alternative rock. Mm-hmm. I love like old school rock and roll, you know, like the oldies but goodies.
Yeah.
That's my main thing. So like I said, Arctic Monkeys, yeah, / Strokes, the Strokes-esque. That's my bread and butter for sure.
So what advice can you give people that want to be an actor like you or a singer? What advice can you give them?
I'm sorry, one more time.
I was asking.
Can I have that question one more time?
Yeah, I was asking. What advice can you give people that want to be an actor like you or a singer? What advice can you give us? That?
Oh, okay. Man, it's funny because like, I don't know if I'm the most qualified, like I'm doing it, but even still, I'm like, I don't know if I'm the most qualified for that. Cause I don't want to give anybody like advice that might end up like not helping them out. Right. But, if I had to say anything, it's just be consistent. Don't give up. Know that it's an ebb and flow being an actor. You don't need to go to school for one. You don't need to go to actor school. A lot of people learn on the job, and that's one of the best ways to learn. I did have training, and so I'm not saying it's useless to go to school. That's not what I'm saying, but you don't have to. So don't let that be a mental block, number one. Number two, make a profile on the casting websites and just audition for as much as you can, because the more you audition, the more chances that eventually something's going to happen. Someone's going to say yes to you. And once you're on set, once you're on the job, be completely prepared. Mm-hmm. Be so prepared that when you're on set, you can just play around. Mm-hmm. Like you're not stressing about your lines. You're not stressing about how you look or if that felt right, because you're going to be doing takes over and over and over and over again. So mm-hmm. They're going to choose the best one. So don't worry too much about that. Just be prepared and be open to the moment. Be open to having fun. Other than that, like the more practical steps, like, yeah, get yourself some good headshots, get yourself set up online on casting profiles, and just go for it. Just go for it. No fear.
Yeah, that's the best advice. Just go for it. You know, I'm with you, buddy. That's how I feel. Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So how do you deal with rejection? I mean, I think how do you deal with rejection? Does it hurt sometimes?
Oh, definitely. It hurts the most when you know you're you know you're perfect for a role, right? But the other people don't see it, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't blame them because it's their production. So mm-hmm. They have the full right to be like, sorry, we don't want you, right? But when you get attached to a script that you read and that you really, really like, and you want to be a part of that production, it is difficult sometimes to let, sometimes you just want to call them back and be like, like, let me try again. I think I really got it this time. Cause like, you know, that script, that movie or that project is going to be good. Mm-hmm. But the biggest way, the best way to deal with rejection is to just let it go. I think being an actor, you have to give 100% of yourself while expecting nothing of an outcome, which is a really hard thing for people to wrap their head around, or at least to accept, because every time you have to do your best. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your best is not what they're looking for, but that by no means does that mean it wasn't good. It's a game about perspective.
Yeah,
as long as you keep a good perspective on your shoulders, the rejection, it kind of rolls off you after a point.
I'm glad to hear that. That sounds good to me, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Like I said, I mean, I've seen all your videos on, and it's like, you're so good in character. How do you prepare for a role? And how do you get into character?
So, the thing with Illumably, and, you know, if your fans are familiar with them, the thing about them is, I work with them a lot, and yeah, I often get the scripts sent to me maybe like 1 or 2 days before. And so that's not a lot of time to prepare as an actor, but the best way I have found to deal with that, that shortness of time, because the scripts are always fun. They're mm-hmm. always fun, and they're always going to be a good time. It's just read it over and over again, and then take a break, which sounds counterintuitive, because a lot of people would be like, get your nose to the grindstone, right? But know the script enough that when you go to bed and you take a break from it, your brain is marinating on the character that you're supposed to be playing. And then read it one more time the morning of, mm-hmm. and then just let your instincts take over, because acting is all about mm-hmm. reacting to the other person. Mm-hmm. So you can't think too much about how am I going to say this line, and like, how do I look here? I'm going to raise my eyebrow there. Like, you can do some of that, but if you're focused too much on yourself, you're going to miss out on the interaction happening between you and the other person. And that's where characters come from. Mm-hmm. Character comes from actions taken between the two people acting. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm still me. I just give off the illusion of being that character. You know what I mean? Okay. But it's all about the other person.
Well, that's good to hear. So what's like the look of the cast of Illumity? I know you guys work a lot. So do you guys get along on set?
Yeah, absolutely. There's not a day where I'm not belly, like laughing from my belly, just chuckling with them, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all great people. They're all super professional. They're all just wonderful to work with. And what I really love about them is that they are open to ideas. Mm-hmm. So the script can be written and set, but if I have an idea like, hey, I kind of want to do this way, is that okay? More often than not, they're okay with it. And they'll say, yeah, let's try it your way. And I really appreciate that as an actor, for them to give me that kind of freedom. It can't happen all the time because, you know, they're on a schedule and the production has to keep going. So sometimes we don't have time to experiment. But when we do, like, great things happen. And you wouldn't have that kind of freedom if you didn't have, like, a good cast and crew that knew how to work well together.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I can definitely see the chemistry between you and the woman, you know. I'm actually going to interview her next week. She seems so down to earth, you know. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Wait, is her name Avandra or?
Avandra. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Avandra. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Her?
Yeah. Okay. Full stop. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That's her. Yeah.
That's super cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, look forward to that, you know. Yeah. So, what inspires you? What gives you inspiration to do what you do?
There's a lot, but I would say my number one inspiration to do what I do is my family. Mm-hmm. I come from a family of immigrants. Oh, and so like they came to the United States looking for a better life and everything. And here I am wanting to be an actor. right? And I've heard it before. Should have been a doctor, should have been a lawyer. But I'm very fortunate to have a family that's very supportive. Sometimes, for the most part, very, very, very supportive, extremely supportive. You know, they like to take jabs at me every once in a while when they're like, oh, hey, you haven't had a part in a little bit. What's going on there? I'm like, hey, give it some time. Give it some time. I'll get back on the horse. Don't worry about me. But yeah, they inspire me because, you know, like I said, my parents came here for a better life. And so I want to get my career to the point where I can provide that life. You know, like, I don't get me wrong. I want to retire my parents. I want to buy them a house, do all that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
I definitely can tell you well. I bet you will. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, hello there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM. Boston's local community radio station. Hello there. My name is Jai Bino, and my guest today is the lovely actress Evandre Aurelia from Illumini. Hello, Evandre. How are you today? Good to see you.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. Thank you.
It's so good to see you. Okay. I'm such a fan of yours from the show to Illumini. You're such a wonderful actress. So you started in the entertainment field as an actress.
Well, in general, I started like a lot of theater kids do. I started in high school, and I continued to, well, I started a mechanical engineering degree at a community college and realized I couldn't give up theater, so I ended up going into the theater route. I went to school at AMDA New York for musical theater, and then I came back here, you know, right after pandemic, looking for opportunities. A friend of mine who had found Illumibly through Backstage messaged me last minute, hey, can you come in tomorrow and do this short film with Illumibly? And yeah. I was like, okay. Uh-huh. Had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I ended up being with them for a very long time, so worked out.
Well, that's wonderful. So what inspires you?
Inspiration. I think it's the craft itself. Uh-huh. It's just so fulfilling to be able to tell stories, yeah, and to be around really great people. Uh-huh. I have been very fortunate that all the people I've worked with have been really, really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so that keeps you going. You want to come back to continue working with these people.
I know, because I actually interviewed Sergio last week, you know, and he was a wonderful man.
So Sergio's great.
Yeah. So what's it like to work with Sergio in the Mustang cast?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I normally just come home and crochet. I'm kind of boring. But yeah, we've hung out offset a few times. We've had like Christmas parties. It's a great group. We all get along really well. So sometimes we have to like tone it back because, you know, got to get to business.
Yeah. Are you also singing yourself?
Yes. Yes. As I mentioned, I pursued a education in musical theater. So that is my like primary passion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Any plans for you to record an album?
No, I haven't even thought of that. That would be a lovely dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not even a dream. That can happen. Uh-huh. But it's not something I've set to do yet.
Okay.
Maybe next.
Okay. I see that, you know, yeah. So what advice can you give? Do you want to give people that want to be a singer or actor?
Okay. So first off, for singing, uh-huh, I want to say that everyone can sing, and it's easier than you think. Uh-huh. We have a tendency to overthink singing. Mm-hmm. But the way I teach is from a very natural standpoint. We just have one voice and we use it the same way. Mm-hmm. So when we're speaking, we speak on pitch all the time. We have a melody to our voice. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when we're singing. So we don't have to change anything to produce those sounds. We just have to listen to the music and feel the music. But that's singing. That's singing. Anyone can pursue singing. becoming better at it, you could follow my website, YvondraAurelia.com. I have linked to my lessons there. And as far as acting, same thing, mm-hmm. getting education.
Yeah.
Getting education and acting, I think, is the first thing. Mm-hmm. And then putting yourself out there.
Okay.
You have to find out where your resources are to act, and you have to constantly audition. That's the unfortunate part of the acting career, is that you can't just get a job and be settled. You have to constantly keep looking. And the more you look, the more opportunities you have, you'll find something. You'll get work. And the more work you get, the more experience you get, the farther you can go.
So how do you deal with rejection?
Oh, rejection.
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, it definitely can be hard being rejected, especially when you're trying to pursue acting as like your means of making money.
Yeah.
it puts a lot more pressure on it. So it can be difficult, but again, as long as you treat every audition, this is just one audition, and you are maintaining the idea that there's always more auditions, there's mm-hmm. always something else out there, that helps you think of that one rejection as a very small piece mm-hmm. of the puzzle. So you have to think about the big picture. There's always more for you to do. No audition is everything. Mm-hmm. That's not your one shot. You always have another shot.
Oh, okay. And so how do you prepare for law?
Well, first step, reading the script, figuring out who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
In Illumably, we have a quick turnaround with these scripts. Uh-huh. So we get the script, and it's often, you know, the next day we are shooting the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make some quick choices. I would say I make character choices of how do they speak? How do they move? What is their objective in that scene, in the show or piece as a whole?
Uh-huh.
There's also some improv involved, especially with Illumably, which is where you've seen me. We get to go a little bit off script sometimes, so we get to do things that are fun and creative, and those are usually my favorite parts. The parts that just come in the moment from connecting to your partner and knowing who your character is.
So how did the pandemic affect you?
Mm-hmm. Before the pandemic, mm-hmm. I was at AMDA, New York, in Manhattan, and I was trying to make my career happen in musical theater. Yeah. So the plan was, after I graduated, I was going to stay in Manhattan and work on auditions there.
Mm-hmm.
But since I graduated during the pandemic, mm-hmm. I didn't think it was sustainable to stay in New York at that time, when there wasn't auditions. There wasn't anything to audition for. So I originally made the goal I was going to go home for a year mm-hmm. until things started to open up again. And it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years now since I graduated. Yeah. But I think it's still been the most sustainable choice for me to continue auditions here as I build up my resume more.
I see. And so how's that going for you so far? Are you getting more roles and more films and plays?
Yeah. So, honestly, Illumably was a great resource mm-hmm. for me, because Illumably wasn't just a single role. That was like a part-time job, because
mm-hmm.
we were filming multiple days every single week. And so that was a really great way to help sustain my acting career, getting money in income. And so I've been continuing to audition for stage, because I really want to get back on stage. Is my goal. I had a play recently that I was in, and I'm waiting to hear back on more auditions. I've done a couple other short films with student directors, and I was a part of a Kickstarter campaign recently that is still hush, but.
Uh-huh.
We got to create a fun video for it too that was really, really inspiring, honestly. So I'm excited for that Kickstarter to come out. And there's been, you know, very lovely feedback from the fans of Illumably.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really, really excited for the opportunities that will be coming soon.
So where is Illuminated filmed? Is it filmed in New York City?
No. We're from California.
Okay, California. Okay. So
yeah, Bay Area.
So how is the weather down there? Is it real hot down there?
Well, California has been experiencing a unique amount of rain for us. Yeah. So it's actually raining quite a bit, like as we speak.
Oh, really?
Which is really great. I'm so glad we're getting rain, but it seems to be that California is either getting not enough rain or too much.
Yeah, because I'm definitely trying to move to California.
Well, hello there. This is the J-Man Show on WBCA 102.9 FM, Boston's local community radio station.